B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub Headlines.
A real nice win for the Celtics last night in Charlotte as they swept their back-to-back with a 140-129 win over the Hornets. Jason Tatum scored a game-high 41 points.
And it just showed that we had some fight in us, some toughness that, you know, whatever was going our way, it wasn't going our way. Down 10. Just to figure it out.
Jaylen Brown added 30 points and Dennis Schroeder 23 for the Green. They're now 2-2. They're back at TD Garden tomorrow night to open up a home and home against the Washington Wizards. Patriots defensive back Jonathan Jones underwent successful shoulder surgery yesterday. He's expected to miss the rest of the season. He was placed on injured reserve last week. The Jets are now down a quarterback after a knee injury to Zach Wilson. So yesterday the team set a conditional sixth round draft pick to Philadelphia to bring back Joe Flacco. Game one of the World Series is tonight in Houston with the Astros hosting Atlanta. And Red Sox news, Rafael Devers, Xander Bogaerts, and Hunter Renfroe are all finalists for a Silver Slugger Award. Devers, according to the Sox, was dealing with elbow inflammation in the playoffs but won't need surgery. And the Associated Press was the first to report yesterday that a Major League Baseball work stoppage is all but certain this winter, possibly as soon as December 2nd, the day after the current labor agreement expires. The winter meetings in Orlando are reportedly already going to be canceled. Sports Hub Headlines are brought to you by IBEW Local 103 and NECA, the power professionals. Power your next project or career with the trained electricians and technicians of IBEW Local 103 and NECA. Visit the 103advantage.com. I'm John Wallach at Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update at 6:30.
Zolak.
Yeah, he's got a big chance to be everything.
Bertrand.
Oh, no, you're into the pedicures there.
Hardy.
You can't tell who touched it last.
And you.
David.
Which David are you talking to?
Zolak.
Middays on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
I don't think you're supposed to be taking walks from the beach.
Bop-doo-zop, bop-doo-zop.
Opinions is a rectum.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Season four, your mom's a whore.
Pizza time.
Hit me like a bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
I have four recliners. He has three.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
All right, fellas, here's a really good chance for us to start believing in some of the stuff we're doing. But don't turn the ball over. It's a good place to start. Mm-hmm. All right. Scored on 9 of 10 possessions offensively. Yock, stiff arming. All right, making plays in a passing game. All right, defensively, turn the ball over, getting vertical in the pocket, knocking the ball out of there. It's a great fumble at the end of the game. Just keep playing. Cody, 5 tackles. I'm just telling you, one day at a time, keep stringing them together. You can see the results of it. You just got to keep stacking them together.
What we can't do is be too worried about tomorrow, because tomorrow's not guaranteed, right? We always got to worry about today.
Ain't nothing sweeter than being able to go out here and put 54-piece combination on the New York Jets. How we feel? That's 54-piece!
Start acting up a little bit. How do we feel?
Seasonal allergies.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Touch from Rich Radio Program, Town Fair Tire Studios. 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. You can watch us on Twitch at twitch.tv. Or the Twitch app, follow 98.5 The Sports Hub. That is the big dork Slater giving his big congratulations to the team.
Yes.
These are seasonal allergies.
Ah, how do we feel?
The sweet nectar of victory.
If I played that clip for you that you just played, that I talked over, but if I played that clip for you that you just played and there was no context.
Mm-hmm.
We were out to dinner, and I had my phone.
Yep.
And I said, listen to this. What would you assume was going on?
I would say you went to a pretty awesome LARP this weekend.
I would say that is a Dungeons & Dragons game, and everyone would.
Rolled a 20 on the 20-sided die, my friend.
That was a gentleman dressed as a centaur holding a goblet.
That, 100 out of 100 times, you would never, ever guess Just as a centaur holding a gun. Centaurs do not drink goblets.
After stabbing a gelatinous cube.
You can't stab
on.
If you're a centaur. You have
how hooves. Do we feel about tasting the sweet nectar?
Do centaurs have arms?
Yeah, you dork.
So you can hold a goblet. You just have the legs
centaurs
of a horse.
Have... Yeah. So you have four, if you're a centaur.
You have
all right,
you have
I'll leave it to the
centaurs have four legs, but the upper torso up towards the head is of human form.
I'll leave it to the experts. But all right, so a centaur, you're telling me, is a half man, half horse.
Yeah.
But the four legs of a horse with hooves.
Mm-hmm.
But then you put two arms on it.
Yeah, so you're kind of like, it's like you got bonus. Because it's not just, you know, your arms, you wouldn't think of the two front legs. You get to have the arms as well.
Like
because a centaur, their weapon of choice is the bow and arrow. And you have to have human arms to be able to do that.
That is true. That is the bow and arrow.
I mean, if you remember in the painting that is allegedly above Madonna's bed.
I'm just going to
bring up A-Rod,
yep.
You know, A-Rod as a centaur, he indeed has his arms when he's, you know, on that oil painting.
Yeah.
If I told you that was a football player, never in a million years would you guess. That.
No, it's that's
that
why
is
it's
Dungeon fit. Master Jim celebrating finally. John, if you, how long is an average game of Dungeons and Dragons?
Oh, it's endless. It takes forever. You go,
but they
and
do
you,
end.
They do end eventually, but it depends. It's not like a 1 day thing. It goes for weeks. This
now
thing,
does
play for like 3 hours or 6 hours, and then you go home.
Okay,
and you come back.
So is it imperative? I've never.
Rolled the bones.
I've never been.
You've never busted out the Fiend Folio?
The only time I've been to Dungeons & Dragons is when you and I were screwing with them 20 years ago for the radio. So now is it important now if I'm playing Dungeons & Dragons and we've done our 6 hours and everyone must go home, is it important that the board is kept?
Yes.
Okay, because so there is a playing surface.
There is a playing surface. Now, it is possible to put these things away. That's left to the dungeon master who keeps all of these things.
But you would have to have a photographic memory almost to.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's not like Risk or something where the board if it's even or even
no.
chess like if
no,
the
no,
board
no,
is
no,
screwed.
It's not like that. No. It's not like that.
No. And these games can go on for years.
Yes.
It's basically when you want to end them.
That's right. The dungeon master is in charge of mapping things out and making sure he knows what rooms you've been in and what rooms you still have to find.
The party never ends, Fred. No. I mean, come on. It's like we now go to Wallach's basement, circa 1983.
Yep.
You've got the, now did you have the dealer's visor?
No, we went over to a friend's house.
Can't God, buy me love.
No, there were six of us, and we were in the basement of a buddy of mine. His name was Chris Hart, lived around the corner from me.
Now, what grade in school was this?
Oh, this was sixth grade, seventh grade, something.
See, I will contend that's six friends. So if you have six friends, you're not doing too bad.
Sure.
Six friends is a lot of friends.
Yep.
I mean, that all hang out together and, like, all like each other? Now, the fact that you're playing Dungeons & Dragons...
Spending time indoors, like, during the summer. Bad. Bad, bad, bad.
But, now, would you be the Dungeon Master?
No.
Master?
No, I was not.
The Dungeon Master is always the fattest guy in your group.
Did you want to be the Dungeon Master, or was that, like... Like, was the alpha the Dungeon Master,
yes.
or was it
no,
like a...
I, as I remember it, I had an opportunity to be the Dungeon Master, but it just seemed like too much work. It seemed like, you know, you have to make sure that how many hit points everyone has left. You have to make sure that, you know, all the rooms are clearly mapped out and all what monsters are in what rooms and what treasure is there. It just seemed like a pain in the ass. So I was just a character.
The Dungeon Master could also, like, be a dick and make enemies. Like, you were just making stuff up. So if somebody was kind of a jerk in your group that you didn't like, the Dungeon Master could make his life a living hell.
That's why he was throwing
Mancaiuses and gelatinous cubes at you left and right. And there's nothing you could do about it.
This is why.
Unless you're a level 8 paladin with chainmail, then, you know, you're indestructible.
Took a while to get to chainmail. Just wasn't handed to you.
This is why that game makes absolutely no sense to me, is that it's just like in the mind of the dungeon master.
A lot of it, yeah. Pretty much.
So is it even really a game? Like if I was to gamble on it, would it be considered a fair gambling?
No, you could gamble on whether or not they're able to defeat. You know, like said beast by rolling an 8 or more with your...
Then that's out of the hands of the Dungeon Master. If I roll the 8, that's out of the hands of the Dungeon Master.
But you can throw a beast towards them that is just horribly unfair. Like there'd be one where the chances of you defeating it are minuscule. Or you could, of course, you know, throw some lower level monsters out there. like, you know, the Giggy Gags, which, by the way, they're everywhere, running all around the place.
Well, that's because they're named after Gygax, right?
Oh, Gary Gygax? No, the Giggy Gags was completely different. That was like a lizard-type creature.
No, but I would imagine the Giggy Gags was a nod to Gary Gygax.
Well, he just named it after himself?
Yeah, the creator of the damn thing. Throw some lizards out there. So, all right. So, I've asked you guys so many questions about it because I really don't understand the game.
Uh-huh.
So the Dungeon Master will set this thing up. Now, if there's six guys playing, one Dungeon Master, so he's out. He's not playing. He's
correct.
Just in control.
Yes.
Now, well, one of the five guys, like, could he lose the first day and, like, just be out of the game?
Usually,
you'd have to suck.
There's a slow ramp up. It's not the way the game is set up. It's easy at first, and then as you go lower into the dungeon, the monsters get harder, the traps get harder, that kind of thing. So usually, say you have the Dungeon Master and the five guys will be with you for at least 2 or 3 weeks. And you were mentioned, what if the Dungeon Master doesn't like one guy? There was one guy that none of us could stand. After a few weeks, Dungeon Master conveniently found a way to kill off his character, and he was no longer with us.
That's bullying.
Well, that's what it was.
I mean, that's bullying in the basement. That's
B-squared.
He was like
the smallest kid in the group. He was the loudest and really, really annoying. So we were all very happy.
I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
I mean, he was in second chair woodwind, but I mean...
First chair
woodwind,
first chair wind ensemble, bitch.
Have I played you the clips of Vin Diesel taking Dungeons & Dragons way too seriously?
No.
Oh, well, I've got him somewhere. Like, I think we were going to play him one day in Newsbroke or something. But I went down this rabbit hole, and, like, Vin Diesel...
I know he's super into it.
Oh, but he also, like, videotapes his Dungeons & Dragons games, and dude gets, like, totally into it.
Really?
Now
you're in a really creepy room.
That's right. I mean...
Now this room is creepy.
The way that he thinks that his Fast and the Furious movies will someday win him an Oscar... is the same way he views his Dungeons and Dragons games. Like, this is life or death, literally life or death.
I'm going to really take a long time describing this monster. Its fangs are big, big fangs. Its hands are green, like tree leaves.
Now, are you playing Rush or Dr. Demento when you used to do... When you used to roll the bones.
Remember I told you about 2112 and the Temples of Syrinx? I swear to God, that was the album. That was the album. It was not the only album. I think some Beatles were mixed in there somewhere, but yeah.
Beatles.
Yeah,
but the Temple of Syrinx, so would you like lower the lights and put on 2112 to get like everyone in the mood?
No, the lights were not lowered, but it was played, yes.
But it was played to get you guys in the mood.
Oh, sure.
Like for being mystical.
Hey, it's so stereotypical based on what we've talked about over the years, but it actually happened.
Well,
my introduction to Rush came at these things.
I got news for you. Stereotypes come from like something. They're not just invented.
Lived it, baby.
Like it's
right
that,
here.
Someone didn't decide one day, like, hey, Rush and Dungeons and Dragons go together, I guess. No, I mean the stereotype is true. I mean that's of course it is. Well, that's, I mean, six friends that all get along.
I was the cool guy later because I ran into a buddy of mine at summer camp. We were, and he's like, I have this cassette tape. It's Rush 2112. I'm like, yeah, I've heard that before. He's like, no way.
Yeah.
Friends.
Yeah. That's how you make friends, through your love of music.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd take six friends.
So it's that Dungeons and Coronas bring family together.
I can tell you exactly how that, like, I'm setting the scene.
It's great. Maybe we should play it later on. I pulled it a while back, and I guess we never got to it. But, man, he is just deathly serious about Dungeons & Dragons.
Like, I'm so creative. I'm going to make this, like, unlike any game you played before. All right, Rich, what is coming up today? We have Ted Johnson in for the 7 o'clock hour. I believe Farquhar.
Yes, we have some judgments that need to be made at Farquhar.
If you've never heard the show before, I got to tell you, Farquhar, tell your parents, tell your friends. It's we get into some issues. And then Will Brinson, hopefully not as bad as last time. What's coming up, Rich?
A really just surprisingly exciting Celtics game from a team that was a no-show just a couple of days ago. And Jaylen Brown, I think, murdered a guy on TV last night.
that Michigan State guy. I don't like that. All right, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Get out of here. Come on. Don't listen to them.
Listen to no one.
Don't listen to them. You're going to ruin your career.
Toucher and Rich.
You can't listen to those people. They're maniacs.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed. It's Toucher and Rich.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, and I, gentlemen, watched some of the Celtics game last night.
Hey,
the end of that game was awesome.
I communicated with Mr. Gorman, who's scheduled to join us tomorrow and every Wednesday from here on out.
Perfect. That's great.
Give that man a satin B-ball jacket. Mm-hmm. Good for you.
Come on, John. I don't know if it's all that, but I do what I can.
He sounds good. He's back up and running. He sounds great.
Oh, yes. Gorman's great.
Well, the Celtics roar back from a 12-point deficit to force overtime, and then Jaylen Brown went nuts.
Oubre, left-hand dribble, attacks the paint, switches to the right hand. It's no good. Rebound. Fielded by Tatum. Celtics have a 3-on-1. Tatum for Jaylen Brown.
No!
Elevates and flushes hard in the face of the Eastern Conference Player of the Week.
Oh, my.
Boston by 5 with 1:10 to go. That was a violent throwdown by Jaylen Brown.
I got your Eastern Conference Player of the Week right here, buddy.
Okay, I just wanted to hear what Cedric Maxwell said after that. And Shockingly, no food references from him. But Jaylen bricked a dunk last week, and he wasn't going to do it again. A gigantic exclamation point to last night's Celtics win against the undefeated Charlotte. 140-129, the final score. First off, that Charlotte team is fun as hell. Not only do they have Gordon Hayward, but LaMelo Ball, a player who, by the way, I could not have been more wrong about. He is amazing. I think he had 7 3-pointers last night.
Yeah. Wild.
Yeah. He can shoot the three from anywhere.
He's back in high. What it is? He's back in high school.
Well, that was what he did in high school.
Yeah.
Is that he threw? His dad would coach his teams, and if anyone else had coached him, they would have coached it out of him. So I guess congratulations. I mean, you got to give it to the guy. Two of his three sons are NBA stars.
Well,
I mean, you got to hand it to as big a prick as he is. He did raise those kids. They achieved his goals. And if LaMelo Ball was playing high-level AAU basketball and anyone else was his coach, they would have coached the shooting from half court out of him. But his dad just said, go ahead and do it. And now it's translating into the NBA because it's what the NBA is now.
I thought LaMelo was supposed to be like a middling talent. I thought that,
Lonzo
was supposed to be the superstar.
No, the way it was when Lonzo, first of all, UCLA Steve Alford was the head coach. He had to take all three brothers to get the first one. So anyway, Lonzo came out, and as soon as Lonzo came out and entered the NBA, the story was Lonzo was good. The middle brother was not good. He was the kid who got arrested in China. Mm-hmm. But everyone knew from the time he was in ninth grade, LaMelo was the guy.
But in fairness, LaMelo was really young when Lonzo became a story. So we didn't really know. But John's right. As soon as LaMelo got into the higher age AAU stuff, people started going, oh, and he kept climbing these like rankings until ultimately,
and he's a great facilitator he has these no-look passes that somebody, I mean, it was reminiscent of Steve Nash, some of the stuff he was pulling off
the
last
problem
night.
With LaMelo is no one really knew. I mean, the scouting report was good, people knew he had the skills, but anyone who takes 40 shots a game as an AAU kid is going to score points. And then he had that Lithuania stint against bad players. And then he went to Australia, if you remember, last year, played about 10 games, got hurt, and didn't play anymore.
You know what they're saying, but I've heard some people say, is the Lithuania thing was actually good for him because he was, regardless of the level of competition, he was playing against grown men.
Yeah.
And now that you have boys that are Rich's, has a son my age, my son's age 13, and you have a son, they're 12, right?
Right.
And now that you can see if they're playing any high level of athletic competition for your town or for the region, you can see the difference between a 13-year-old and a 15-year-old. Now imagine the difference between a 17-year-old and a 30-year-old.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, so the fact that he actually... Now, would I do it for my kids? No. Do I know how this story is going to end? No. But apparently, like, what's LaMelo's life going to be like when he's 45? I don't. Is he going to be, you know, paying women to, you know, lock him in boxes and stuff? I have no idea what's going to be going on. But, however, for the time being, they're saying for his basketball game.
Seemed to work.
And I guess it's, like, pretty rough out there, too. Like, it's a lot more physical.
Mm-hmm.
So just playing out there, like, it was misery for him and not good for him as a human being. But in a basketball sense, might have toughened the bump a little bit.
And you mentioned that Charlotte's fun to watch. Charlotte's fun to watch because that kid's there. If that kid isn't there, they're not that fun to watch.
Well, I think Oubre's. I think he's a good player.
Oh, Bridges does 360 dunkaroonies. Yeah, and stuff.
You want to know it's also fun to watch. Fred, you know who was tearing up the Celtics in the first quarter? Your guy, Mason Plumlee.
Oh yeah, Plumlee was
on
fire.
Is that the right Plumlee?
Yeah,
that's the right Plumlee.
That's the right Plumlee.
Plumlee's just like, I'm lifting weights.
So I forget which one was in Brooklyn.
This is the Plumlee that doesn't look goofy. This is the Plumlee that's just like, I wouldn't want to play against Plumlee.
No, did you?
Plumlee's jacked now. This Plumlee's jacked the roof.
Plumlee was the guy that when we all went to Brooklyn to go see that Brooklyn Nets game. Plumlee was out there, and Fred was obsessed with the guy. He just kept going, Plumlee!
Well, that was like when we had Piston mini-season tickets, and I was David Corzine crazy. You're all rooting for Jordan when Corzine's right out there.
Plumlee's a Duke guy, right? Was he Duke?
They're all Duke guys. Like,
of course they are.
They're all Duke guys.
He looks like a Duke guy.
They're all white hustle guys. They all went to
They're all sure. Duke setters, yes.
But it's like nights like last night that Jason Tatum shows you that at times he is among the best in the league.
Tatum pulls up right over Bridges, sticks another three. This time the net doesn't move, and Tatum just jogs back to play defense. He's got 34. Celtics back within one. Six threes.
A significant amount more of tattoos that he has right now. Like, he's got a lot more ink work done. And obviously the guy's been working out as well. You can tell that he's leaner. He's he's a little more jacked. But 41 points for him last night.
I wasn't paying attention to the tattoos. Are they as cool as the one on his back?
What's the back one? Because I know he's got one that's the St. Louis arch on.
Tatum's got like some ridiculous.
He has like had the back
wings
tattoo.
Or something
he got it like
back.
2 years ago, and the St. Louis one I think he got last year on his thigh.
And he's got also his son on the other thigh.
Yeah,
that's
hot. Yeah. You want to get a nice picture of a kid on you.
Yeah.
So when you're having sex, there's a picture of a child sitting right there.
I don't think it's going to turn off anyone when you're Jason Tatum.
It would turn me off. J-Lo's got, you know, J-Lo from the Jersey Shore. She's got like she obviously paid a lot for it. This is like a really good picture of her son, like as a baby, on her right hand.
J-Lo does?
Whoa. Not J-Lo. She's like equated. J-Wow is like J-Wow. J-Lo.
Oh, J-Wow from Jersey Shore.
J-Wow from the Jersey Shore.
Okay. Slight difference in class.
Yeah, I know. She's not Jenny from the block. But she's got a really good tattoo of her son's face as a baby on her right hand.
Oh.
I mean, come on, get out of there with that. like this is what I'm looking at. It's a picture of a baby.
That's got to hurt like hell, too. Like right on the hand. That's got to be like one of the most unfun places to get tattoos.
Getting all those blue chews down before you get in order to perform.
Blue chews.
I don't know. I'm endorsing them. instead of saying Viagra, I'll say blue chew now.
That's right.
That's right. Cha-ching.
It's soda.
Beasley.
It's like Coke. Yeah, that's right.
Well,
41 points for Tatum, 30 for Jalen, and it's nice to have a guy like Schroeder who can give you 20-plus in any given night. Also, Robert Williams, he's turning into the guy that we all wanted him to be. He played 36 minutes last night. Defensively, he was great. 16 rebounds, 3 blocks last night as well, 12 points. It was a good night for him. But here is Jalen on his massive dunk over Miles Bridges last night.
I had to make up for, you know, the missed dunk in New York. So my teammates was teasing me a little bit, but it was just a good play. You know, Miles obviously is one of the better athletes in the league. So I knew that if I tried to lay it up, he was going to send it back to Boston. So I know if I went up, I was going up with bad intentions.
Going up with bad intentions, yes.
Yeah, because Miles had that 360 dunk like 2 days ago. And he was on all the highlight films.
Yeah.
I don't like that Jalen did that to him. That's not nice.
No, it was very mean. Very mean-spirited. But I don't know how...
It's been 2 years in Michigan State. You just wanted to win that title the second year.
I just don't know how this is the same team...
Lost in the first round, Middle Tennessee State.
Like, this team that we saw last night was the same team we saw in game one, obviously, against the Knicks. But I don't know where that team that was playing the Raptors came from. Like that's the one thing that scares me about, because last year we saw that. Remember how last year we saw a team that was playing hard and then all of a sudden one quarter everything would just completely fall apart and it would look like they weren't even trying and their foot would be off the gas. I mean, we saw a perfect example of that brain fart during the Toronto series. And that's the one thing, out of all the changes that happened this offseason, when it came to getting rid of Brad Stevens and moving things around and bringing Ime Udoka, like, this is their guy. That's the one thing I wanted to see just be gone from this team. Because last year, it was a massive problem. Years before that, every game, they played hard. That was the one thing you could say about them. The talent might not have been developed yet, but they always played their ass off.
It goes hand in hand. I mean, once you have the talent, you're going to have off nights. You can have nights where everyone's not trying.
But last year, it was not just an off night. It was an infection.
But look at Brooklyn's first two games. I mean, I think Harden had 9 points in one of them. I mean, this is what stars do.
That's different.
But specifically for the Celtics, you expected more out of them last year. And after watching happened against Toronto.
No, Rich is right. Oh, my God. Rich is right about last year. But, I mean, again, it's an 82-game season. And if it's a pattern, then you can get concerned.
Right. And last year was.
Yes, last year was.
And after watching the Toronto game, the second game of the season, and then you put it next to what happened last night, where they were down a dozen points in the fourth quarter.
I watched.
I mean, that was certainly a 180 from what we saw in the home opener.
Absolutely. But all I would have to say about stars taking the night off or guys half-assing it is, if you worry about that, you're worrying about too much, because I can assure you the coach isn't worried about it. It's when it becomes a pattern. It's like analyzing every single game, you'll drive yourself crazy.
It was just at the beginning of the season, the home opener. It was
John,
it's
been explained. It's been explained. I understand. I get it.
That was weird at home at the opener that they did that.
Well, like,
that
especially in the Electric Garden.
It was. Garden was ready to go.
There was other stuff going on. The Red Sox were in the ALCS. The Patriots are playing. Things don't kick up for these guys till January. The Garden's rocking, but they know no one outside the Garden's watching. All right. We'll be right back. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Now. It's like they're all on laughing gas.
It's Toucher and Rich.
Everything seems slow. Yeah, everything's in slow motion.
On Boston's home for sports.
These are the kind of people that take snoozes under trees.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, we're Toucher and Rich. Be listening at 6:50 this morning for your chance to score a pair of tickets to see Warren Miller's Winter Starts Now and be qualified to win a Salt and Wool brand Harbor hat. Courtesy of the Maine Office of Tourism. So everyone, there you go. There's lots to see and do.
Well, yesterday...
Great state of Maine.
Well, the news broke, of course, about a minute after we got off the air, because that's when news always breaks. But the Patriots' D has taken another hit. Jonathan Jones out for the season. He underwent surgery on his shoulder, and now there's no Gilmore, there's no Jones. That means J.C. Jackson and Jalen Mills are your guys. Now, more than likely, someone like, Miles Bryant, or who am I missing?
Jawan Williams. Yeah, Jawan Williams, but it was Bryant who got the start in the slot last weekend against the Jets.
All right, well, they're going to get more time, obviously. It's another big hit to this team, and the timing couldn't be worse, because this team's getting ready to go up against one of the most dynamic young quarterbacks in the game, Justin Herbert, and yesterday, Bill heaped a load of praise on the guy, going well beyond the typical he makes all the throws that he ends up bestowing upon players that he doesn't really think are any good.
He's really good. I thought he was outstanding. Just really had everything you're looking for. He's very athletic, good arm, a lot of poise. he's as good a quarterback as I've seen come out here in quite a while. You know, I don't think you're going to find too many better than him. I have a ton of respect for him. I think he's going to be one of the top quarterbacks in the league for a long time to come.
He loves him some Justin Herbert.
It's wow. Almost like he didn't beat him 45-0 last season.
Bold statements. It's almost like he's talking about a punter. He's going all in, licking them chops.
I like his youthful acne.
Well, that's the one thing. For that kind of money that he got, couldn't he afford some Retin-A?
I mean, I think it's an Alan Trammell situation. I think it's gotten out of hand, and it's just, it is what it is.
Did you ever have to use Retin-A when you were a kid?
No, thank God. The only problem I didn't have, I had a big hairy back and everything, the only problem I didn't have was acne.
So I did, and I remember one time, I think I was 14, and I was using that stuff, you know, the cream. It's like a cream you put on your face, like a steroid cream.
And it makes it look so good.
Well, it works.
But it peels your whole face off.
Well, Fred, what happened was one time I ended up going to the beach. It was like during the summer, and one thing I did not realize is that you're not supposed to put on that cream and be exposed to the sun for a while. It looked like the bottom half of my face had fallen off. Like, I mean, it was just, when you say peeled off is like a kind way of saying it. It absolutely, like, when you have a sunburn on this part and the rest of it's this baby white skin because it's like half and half just dripping off your face. But before it did that, it bubbled. Like, it bubbled it as if your face was a pizza that was cooking.
It's so, like, because that's the most insecure time of your life is when you would be getting acne anyway. And it's disgusting. Like, it really is off-putting. When someone has, like, horrible acne, it's like, ah! like, it's really hard to look at. And then you feel bad because the person, again, is at the most, you know, like, my son won't smile just because he has braces. And I'm like, everyone's got braces. But yeah. I mean, what am I going to tell him? I mean, he won't smile. So you take that. But then, I mean, just imagine you taking someone's face and disfiguring it like that. And then you got to look at it. I mean, it's real tough.
I got to think that they've invented something since the time that we were using the acne medication that doesn't make it as, like, maiming to your face.
I don't see as much terrible cases of acne. And again, now I'm around... because of my Boy Scouts, no. Now I'm around a lot of kids in that adolescence, that part of adolescence, because of my son's age and the sports he plays. You're not seeing as much as when we were kids. So there's got to be some cooking.
It was rampant when we were kids.
Yes.
Like, I mean, I would say it was 50% of the kids had acne problems.
Yeah, like I had pimples and everything, but I got the Clearasil cover-up.
Oh, yeah.
Which was exactly the whiteness of my face. You couldn't tell at all. I just have these big brown splotches of makeup on my lily white face.
Did you ever do the Clearasil pads, which made your face sting like a mother effer?
Yes. Oh. But what I was all about, see, was nairing the old back.
Oh, so you would nair.
And then what would happen, but I was too, like, I didn't want my mom touching me with nair or anything, so I would do it myself.
And then
you get those nice ingrown hairs.
Oh, good stuff.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. They always feel good, too. You push on those, it's nice and red and puffy. Oh, yeah. Now we're talking.
Yeah, because, like, all of a sudden, 2 years ago, I got vitiligo on my forehead. And, I don't care. They can fix it now, too, but, like,
So vitiligo, something that can be...
Yeah, there was an article in the Globe about it, like, but I'd have to go, like, into the city, like, to, like, Mass General or something, and it's just, like, I don't care. I'm fat and old and stupid. Like, who wants... Like, let's be honest. Like, if I got a divorce or something, and I'm not getting one, friends of Stephanie, but say
you
something,
shouldn't have said that,
say
man.
Something. Say, well, no, I should be able to say whatever I want.
I know, but you paid for this once before.
No, I didn't pay for it. I made my wife understood. She understood who was right. And
okay.
So, to be honest, what girl is gonna go, who would sleep with me, like, wouldn't sleep with me because I have vitiligo? Like, you're sleeping with me.
You're saying that there's, like, a ton of things that they'd have to accept first.
Yeah.
And that's, like, maybe, like, 19th on the list.
Right, exactly. Like, okay. They're like, you know, like, I was all set to sleep with this guy, but he's got vitiligo on his forehead. Like, you know, you'd have to get past so much other stuff. Like, you'd be sleeping with me for, like, money or, like, something like that. Like, that, you know, like, the vitiligo would be the least of your concerns. So, yes, they can't. And now there's people, and it goes, my vitiligo, you can't even tell I have it in the winter because my everything gets the same. It's when my other parts of my face tan. Mm. And thankfully, it's been very localized. It hasn't spread. I mean, I guess if it spread all over my face, I'd think about doing something about it. But yes, if you have vitiligo and you're like black or a Middle Eastern or something and it shows up all the time, yes, they have treatments now.
Well, that's good.
That's what caused
Michael Jackson to bleach his entire skin.
Yes, and I believe that's what, but I don't think that's why Sammy Sosa bleached his skin.
Well, Sammy Sosa, like, he almost, I don't know if it's because in the famous picture that's out there where he's wearing, like, this bright pink, where it almost seems like the skin, it's not black or it's not white. It's like it's this bleach color that I have not seen.
Because we talked about Sammy Sosa one time, and I was, like, defending him because of vitiligo.
Yeah.
And then I learned, I believe, that he does not have vitiligo.
No.
It was entirely cosmetic.
Bleaching.
Like bleaching, not due to, I mean, it would be cosmetic anyway, but not due to anything, any condition. He just wanted to do it.
Right.
Feel free to make fun of him.
Do you ever watch that show Atlanta, by any chance?
I've seen it, yes.
That's like a topic of one of the episodes is Sammy Sosa, because like no one could believe that it's actually Sammy Sosa, and they're all showing the picture around.
Yes, and it's true.
It's true. I mean, it's definitely a shocker. Well, it looks like that hit that Matthew Judon put on Zach Wilson this weekend is a best-case scenario for the Jets, so Fred rejoice. No disclosed damage beyond the sprained PCL. It's too early, obviously, to know how everything's going to play out, but it's possible he returns after a couple of weeks. But as you mentioned yesterday, since the Jets don't have anyone at quarterback behind the legend in the making that is Mike White, instead of going Cam Newton, which we speculated yesterday, they traded for good old Joe Flacco.
Joe Flacco, who in a game against the Chargers last year, the first possession of the game, threw a screen pass right to the slot corner.
Mm-hmm.
Just right to the slot corner from the Chargers from about the Jets 10. He just said, here you go. It wasn't even the guy that was defending the receiver. It was just the slot corner who's standing right there, and he threw it right in his chest, about 5 yards in front of the receiver. Just threw it right into his chest.
I saw Carson Wentz do that this week, except it wasn't even a throw. It was a shovel pass.
Oh, he was getting hit. Yeah, I saw that.
But there was there was no one else around. It was a shovel pass right to... No. Who are they playing? The Seahawks?
He tried a Patrick Mahomes where, the backhanded Colts. Flip.
Yeah. No, it Flacco really set his feet, reared back, and threw it directly into the chest. The guy didn't jump the route.
No.
Just threw it right into his chest. Well, here's the deal with Flacco, because I'm sure everyone cares, is apparently he's at least somewhat used to this system. I guess he played in a similar system.
Listen, he won a Super Bowl and he's a veteran.
No. Yeah.
So what would be the worst thing to have a guy like that behind Zach Wilson?
It's a conditional sixth. If he starts four games for them, it becomes a fifth.
Okay, which by the way, can I just mention the irony in the fact that the Eagles ended up getting more for old-ass Joe Flacco than the Patriots got for Stephon Gilmore?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's something completely wrong with that scenario.
Yeah, it's when you're dealing from a position of power and dealing from a position of desperation.
Sure. Makes complete and total sense.
Yeah. So they bring a veteran in. I don't think he's going to play start four games for him. And, you know, maybe he won a Super Bowl. Maybe he knows something.
Well, speaking of teams that need quarterbacks, Jeremy Fowler.
Apparently he's not starting for them either.
No, it's going to be White.
Mike White?
Yeah, it's going to be White for at least one more week.
I don't think he was that bad, obviously, when he went in. I mean, when he first started that, he went right down his first pass was a touchdown.
Well, they were on the two.
They were on the two, but the next drive was actually decent.
Yeah.
He actually took them down the field, which is more than
I think the Patriots were in a bend but don't break situation at that point. Or they were about to get into one.
I'm just saying he physically did it. I'm not saying he's a Pro Bowler in the making. I'm just saying he physically did it. Got the team down the field.
Take flight with White?
Take flight with White. They are the
saying?
Jets.
Is
yes.
that what they're saying out there?
I just
correct.
Made it up right now.
Oh, well, you should copyright that.
Well done.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of teams that need quarterbacks, Jeremy Fowler of ESPN is reporting that Deshaun Watson is now prepared to consider multiple options. It's no longer Miami or bust, has been previously reported, and multiple teams remain interested, including Carolina, who have become more aggressive in their pursuit of Watson after they benched Sam Darnold in their just gross loss to the Giants this West weekend.
But Darnold's the best. All right, caller number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to see Warren Miller's Winter Starts Now and be qualified to win a Salt and Wool brand Harbor hat, courtesy of the Maine Office of Tourism. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for Touch and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Hey, it's Rich and...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
They get you going.
That's a difficult thing to get through.
Every day.
That is 4 hours of conversation.
Toucher and Rich on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah, having some fun.
Who's this?
It's a group called the Gaslight Anthem.
Oh, I know Gaslight Anthem. Okay.
It's raining, you know. It's going to rain all day today and tomorrow. And yesterday, when I came in, so when you get to the building, there's two doors that are unlocked. Then you got to buzz yourself in. And then there's a lobby. And then you got to buzz yourself in again. And then you're in the actual building. And there was this homeless guy. He had a mask on. So, you know, props to him getting the curve down.
Mm-hmm.
And he's sitting there, and he was very uncommunicative, but it was raining. And so I let him in the one area where you don't have the key card in. But then I told him that you can't come in the key carded area. And then so I told my wife this, and she's like, why'd you let him in the building? And I'm like, well, I don't know if he ever would have been able to figure out how to open the door. Like how he would have been able to figure out how to pull the handle to the door.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's raining. I mean, what are you, cold-hearted person? It's raining. The man was outside. But Rich made a good point, like, how to get down here.
Yeah, this is, like, we're kind of in the middle of nowhere. Like, this is a strange spot for that.
It's about a half mile from the T station.
That's true. But why this building as opposed to, there are other buildings around the T station.
There's also, like, stores and things.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, between here and there.
At that point in the morning.
But there's, like, you know, covered areas between here and there.
Our front door doesn't face the tea station. It's kind of odd. I think that's true. It's
all
weird
I gotta
that
say
this
is,
would be the building.
We've got enough weird emails that I'm a little suspect of people milling around our building.
Well, what do you want me to do about it? Like, shoot the guy? I mean, like, he's standing right there.
Or just not let him in.
How do I not let him in? It's an open door. I didn't let him in. I didn't key card him in. It's the door. The door is open. If 20 homeless people came down right now, they could open the door and go into that area.
I guess I lived in a building before that had a thing like that before, and I live on a very busy street, and so there would be some times where people would try to come in behind you, and you just have to learn the technique, and that is where you just, because there's one time.
Did the door lock?
Yeah.
Okay, see, again, there's no technique. The door does not lock.
But, you know, I would think that if someone was in there, then when somebody else is trying to come in, then it's only one door that they've got to get through.
Well, then the person would have to
do what, you know, you should have done the first time.
No.
Slide through.
No. Again, this is a non-key carded door. I didn't let him in anywhere that had to be key carded. There's two sets of doors still in his way. I don't know what you guys aren't understanding.
I understand he was in that little antechamber there, the small antechamber, not in the lobby proper.
Yes.
The little antechamber.
Nor was he in the building.
Like the airlock before you get into the main thing.
Right, so if I was to open the door and there was a homeless guy in there, I would take my key card, let myself in, and not let him in.
Yes.
The same thing that I did.
I get it.
Technique. You're talking about two different things.
Originally, I thought you let him in the lobby, but now you've been more.
No, clear. I didn't let him in the lobby.
But the next person who comes in, he could just come in with them.
Well, then that person would have to not let them in, like I didn't let him in.
But you. Okay.
I did not let him in. I don't know what you're not understanding. I said you cannot come in past this area, and then I used my key card. The person that came in after me would just have to do the same. I literally did nothing. Nothing to encourage him coming into the station proper. Emails are not, you paranoid freak. The guy was raining. Like, you're all religious. You don't let a guy in out of the rain.
But I also care about the safety of the people in the building.
What? How did I compromise anyone's safety?
Because someone is going to have to walk in and be in that cubicle, like stuck with them.
What's the difference if the guy's out in front of the building or if he's in that little cubicle?
Because you can run away from him. If you're stuck inside that box with him.
How could you not run away? The doors aren't locked.
Well, but you're stuck in a small spot.
Then open the door, and if it freaks you out that much, call the police. If you want to call the police at a guy for standing in an enclave.
I have sympathy for these guys as well.
No, you don't.
Sure.
No, you have absolutely none.
By the way, there's an overhang here, too. It's not like he was just being rained on.
He wanted to come out from the cold.
But you can avoid it wasn't that cold yesterday.
Well, is that for you to say? Who knows what medical conditions this gentleman had?
Well, you should have brought him all the way in then. Should have offered him some food.
No, that would have been against the rules, and now you're turning the argument into being absurd. What I did, now I'm even more confident than ever. You guys are all pricks, and I'm cool. I let the guy in out of the rain. You guys would have just let him rot there. All I know is that we're in Dorchester, and I can't wait to leave here.
Not for long, my friend.
Yeah, for a very long
time. The plane is in motion.
They sent out an email, and they were like, look at the new building. And I'm like, oh, wow, look at the new building. This is new building looks great. And then it's like fantasy. It wasn't even real stuff. It was just computer images.
Yeah. June. That's what we're
sure. They're crossing their fingers. That
June. Yeah. That's the day.
All right. Well, listen, what would you have done, John? John, Rich has made it clear that he would have.
I've just lived in the city long enough to know that sometimes the best intentions can backfire.
Look, Rich, he's very street smart.
Rich, honestly, if the guy's just sitting there in that little airlock and is not bothering anyone,
you don't.
Fine.
But you don't know he's not bothering anyone.
Why is it upon?
Rich, I've had way worse things happen to me in my life than
why
you
is it upon
I think I can understand when there's danger and when there's not.
Why is it upon Fred to throw himself in front of this guy and shield everyone who works at this company? His job is to get inside and not let the guy in with him, and he did that.
But he did let him inside an area that is locked together
to get through.
It's not locked.
No, he only has one door to get through at that point.
You're misunderstanding. He didn't let him in the first set of doors with a key card. He was outside that first set of doors with a key card.
And each time someone comes in, he can go in with them
to
the next door.
But why is it upon Fred to usher this guy outside with doors that don't lock if he says you have to get outside? As soon as Fred goes in the building, the guy's going to come right back in. Why is it on Fred to make the phone call to the police?
I just think
and say,
you,
get this guy out of here.
Don't let someone who doesn't have a key card in the building because
he
did.
I didn't. He didn't.
Well, you did let him inside the building.
I didn't let him in past
not
the
really.
Key card door.
Well, you did. It takes a key card to get into that door.
No, it doesn't.
It does. That first door, you need a key card.
Now you're misunderstanding. See,
there's three. You need three different key cards.
Yes,
to get
the first
and the first one first, you had a key card
no,
to let
you,
him in.
No, you don't.
You need two.
You need two.
Two key.
Two of the doors. You need a key card.
Two of the.
When was last time you came
two
in this
sets
way?
Of door. I didn't even.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.